Hi, this is Dr. Jeff Gaines, and welcome to this podcast. This podcast is about traumatic brain injury, or TBI, recovery and safety. As with all our podcasts, the presentation here is meant to be informative, but should not be taken as a replacement for your own doctor's treatment and recommendations. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, is by definition an injury to the brain due to the impact of some external force. There are two basic types of TBI, or head injury: closed head injury and open head injury. In closed head injury, the skull is left essentially intact. The skull has not been compressed or penetrated, so no object or air has gotten through the protective layers of tissue covering the brain. A classic example of closed head injury would be sports concussion, where the player was wearing a helmet, but the brain has still bounced back and forth inside the skull, causing bruising or twisting of brain tissue. In open head injury, the skull has been compressed or penetrated. The brain can be exposed at that point and is, of course, damaged. A classic example of open head injury would be gunshot wound to the head, where a bullet has penetrated brain tissue. According to experts, a head injury or TBI has occurred if at least one of the following is true. First, there is some alteration or loss of consciousness following impact to the head. This can be anything from feeling mildly dazed to experiencing prolonged loss of consciousness. Two, there is some sort of neurologic change following impact. For example, decreased ability to move or to sense things properly. 3. There is some sort of cognitive deficit following impact, in terms of one's ability to focus, express oneself, remember things, etc. Common symptoms following TBI include feeling dazed or disoriented, feeling nauseous, having headaches, associated seizures, fatigue, and mood or behavioral symptoms, such as depression, anxiety, agitation, etc. One of the most common cognitive or mental symptoms in TBI is post-traumatic amnesia, failure to remember the impact, and poor memory for events or information occurring before and especially after the impact. The severity of post-traumatic amnesia is a good indicator of how severely the brain was injured, and is also considered a good overall predictor of how long it will take to more fully recover brain functioning. Memories lost from before the impact tend to return first. Memory capacity for events and information occurring after the impact tends to return more slowly. That is, individuals with TBI often have difficulty with learning new information. This is called anterograde memory, and a deficit in this area is considered a hallmark of at least closed head injury. Open and especially penetrating head injuries can have more focal or specific deficits, depending on the precise site or sites of the injury. Other deficits in TBI can include slowed information processing, difficulty with attention or concentration, trouble planning and sequencing tasks, poor behavioral or emotional self-control, and lack of insight into one's difficulties. That is, persons with TBI often do not realize the nature and severity of their deficits after injury, no matter what professionals or family members tell them. They might think they can simply return to driving or return to work, etc., when in fact a more gradual resumption of such activities, after careful evaluation and rehabilitation, is warranted. Much recovery of thinking and memory ability, plus other types of function, such as physical mobility, occurs in the first 6 to 12 months after TBI. After that, recovery can still continue to some extent, usually at a more modest pace, especially with the right therapies. TBI recovery specialists tend to favor a multidisciplinary approach, with neuropsychological and other evaluations as an initial step. Neuropsychological evaluation is very important in TBI. It is especially helpful for determining one's level of thinking and memory capacity at various stages during recovery. Each neuropsychological testing provides a baseline against which to measure progress in cognitive recovery and to guide such progress, giving clinicians a clearer sense of which specific thinking abilities are intact and which need the most development. Speech and language therapy, occupational or daily life skills retraining, and physical rehabilitation are also brought to bear as needed. Counseling is often warranted, as persons with TBI can certainly suffer from anxiety, depression, and general difficulty adjusting emotionally to the fact that they've been injured, lost certain functions or life roles, etc. Some of these symptoms are situational, that is, related to unexpected and unwanted changes in one's life functioning, such as temporary or permanent job loss. Some of these emotional or behavioral symptoms are what is called neuropsychiatric, meaning they are due to damage within brain circuits that control emotion and behavior. For example, damage to orbitofrontal regions of the brain, in the front of the brain behind the eye sockets, are common in certain forms of TBI and can cause emotional symptoms, such as anger, inappropriate laughter, etc. Now, a few points to remember concerning TBI. Number one, as with many medical conditions, the first and best approach to TBI is prevention. Avoid TBI in the first place. This might seem obvious, but people can be quite careless at times. Prevention in this context means to drive safely, for one thing. Always wear your seatbelt. Never drive distractedly. This means do not use a handheld phone, over-engage in any type of conversation, or text while driving. Get the safest car you can afford, optimally with front and side airbags. Also, you might be an excellent driver, but do not count on others to be. Drive defensively. Clearly, do not drink and drive. Prevention also means wearing a helmet when you ski or snowboard, ride your bike or motorcycle, etc. Our neuropsychological team has seen many, many severe head injuries with long and very difficult recoveries in persons failing to follow such basic safety precautions as driving sober or wearing a helmet while skiing. Second, if you do suffer a TBI, while there is typically a certain amount of spontaneous recovery, research shows that recovery is enhanced by involvement in all appropriate therapies. These include physical therapy to increase one's mobility and strength after injury, speech and language therapies to recover the ability to understand and express oneself verbally, occupational therapy to help one relearn basic self-care skills such as meal preparation, time and appointment management, medication management, etc., and neuropsychological counseling for help in coping with any emotional distress associated with TBI, along with further developing attention and memory skills, etc. It is important that TBI survivors find such therapy resources and actively engage in their own recovery in order to make optimal progress. Third, stay especially safe after any TBI. Take all safety precautions to avoid what is known as second impact syndrome, a second TBI overlapping the first that is often fatal or at least very disabling. In short, continue to enjoy your life, but stay very safe. Finally, if you are a TBI survivor, excellent recovery resources in the Massachusetts area include Community Rehab Care, CRC, an outpatient brain injury treatment clinic with offices in Newton, Medford, and Quincy. Metro West Neuropsychology provides testing and counseling services at CRC. CRC can be found on the web at www.brain-rehab-injury.com. Another resource is the Brain Injury Association of Massachusetts, on the web at www.biama.org. Thank you for listening. This is Dr. Jeff Gaines from Metro West Neuropsychology saying work hard, play hard, and stay safe.